Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
If you will, please join me. If you want to grab a pew Bible there in front of you, we're going to be on page 783. If you're in your own Bible or on your device, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. If you can and you are able, I invite you to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel lesson this morning. This evening. I guess we've already done the morning, hadn't we? I'm not used to this night church stuff. Let's hear the account as in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph. But before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. If you'll join me in a brief prayer. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to be very truthful and honest with you. My wife says it gets me in trouble. She also says we would have more friends if I wasn't so truthful and so honest. But I was trying to figure out just what to say on this magical night, this magical time of the year, that hadn't already been said 100 times before by 100 different preachers before me. And my wife gave me some advice today in a joking manner. She said, it's Christmas, just get him in the manger. So that's our goal tonight. But I wanted to take a moment and share with you, because I do care about you and I trust you, the best Christmas gift I've ever been given. Tom the teddy bear, ladies and gentlemen. Tom the teddy bear was a gift given to me my very first Christmas. And as you can see, he's been loved on for a long time. We'll come back to Tom in a minute, but let's be truthful about something else, about giving gifts. You know how much time we spend, trying to figure out who to give what gift to? Because you know the person you don't want to give a gift to, but you have to? You don't spend that much, do you? The gift, you try to find something, just don't laugh like y'all don't do this. The gift has to be just good enough that they'll remember and maybe give you something next year. But if it's somebody that's really, really special to you, you go above and beyond, don't you? The Christmas gifts that I used to give my wife back before we agreed to stop doing gifts, I went above and beyond because I wanted her to feel special. But then I had three sisters. Never mind. Let's get back to the notes. This Advent here at Emmanuel, we've been looking at a series called O Holy Night. We've taken a verse or a phrase from that song, that wonderful song, and we've looked at a thrill of hope. We've looked at that His law is love and God's call to love others because of how much he loves us. We looked at a weary world rejoices in the good news of Christ coming. And then earlier today, we looked together that the gospel, the good news that Christ brings, restores us in a peaceful way to God. So in the small group study that we've been doing called Home for Christmas, the author Justin Coleman continues looking at the words of O Holy Night as he approaches Christmas in his conclusion to his book. And there's no telling how many times I've heard the song O Holy Night, like I'm sure everybody here has done, that there's a phrase, there is I guess it's a part of a verse, but of a few lines there that I don't think I've ever paid attention to. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. I can honestly say I've never used that word before. I don't have any of you, is that part of your vocabulary? No. So if you know me, you know that means I had to go to the dictionary because I wasn't even really sure what that meant. But if you go to Merriam-Webster.com, it says pining means to yearn intensely and persistently, especially for something unattainable. Coleman, the author of the book, says, pining, it's what you could describe as hanging on to the idea of something long gone with no hope of ever seeing it return. So I started thinking, what were the people of the Jewish people of that day, what were they yearning for? What did they intensely want that they thought was so unattainable? And I began to wonder if it wasn't the same things that maybe we feel is unattainable in the busyness of our Christmas. That hope, love, joy, and peace. You see, those words, they echoed through my heart this week. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. You know, it makes it pretty clear that probably some of the longing that they were expecting, the distance they felt from God, the silence, the not hearing from prophets, they had caused themselves. Through generations of sin and error, through trusting foreign rulers or whatever it may have been historically, they had put themselves in this situation. We do that to each other a lot, don't we? We fall into that same trap, and this is our mindset most of the time, especially this time of the year, that if we're good enough, good things will happen to us. If we make enough right choices, we'll have hope, love, joy, and peace. And if we don't, then we expect not to have those things, and that's our fault, and it just shows that we're not worthy and we're not worth a whole lot. We even teach our kids a song that says, he's making a list. He's checking it twice. What's he going to do, kids? He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. That's the way we think, isn't it? If we're naughty, what do you get in your stocking? Coal. But if you're really nice, what do you get? Presents. It's a mentality that is the opposite of what the gospel teaches us, because the next line of that song changes everything. It says, until he, Jesus, appeared and the soul felt its worth. When Jesus appeared, the pining was over. Our soul, the soul of those people who longed to feel God again, finally felt its worth. I want you to hear something that you may have never been told before. Your soul is very expensive. Your soul is very valuable. See, when God looked down and he saw his people, he saw the great value that they had. And so he broke all the rules. And he wrote himself into the story. The divine God came into the world in the humblest of ways that very first Christmas. You see, it wasn't until 25 years after I got this teddy bear that I fully understood what it meant to me, or that I fully even understood its worth. And that's because a second gift came. I introduce you Tom Jr. Now, here's the story and why this matters, and maybe in a minute it will resemble Christmas. My mother gave this to my son when the day he was born. I don't think I've ever shared this story with him. The lady that made this bear for my first Christmas made this bear. And they kind of look like family members if this one hadn't aged so much. But here's the funny story about this bear. The lady was no longer in business. She had actually like fallen and broken her hip. And my mom kept nagging her on the phone. You don't understand, I got to have one of those bears like you used to make in the 80s. Because my grandson's going to be born, and his dad's favorite bear, he's got to have one. The lady said, ma'am, I'm not even in business anymore. I'm in the house with a broke hip. Like, I don't know if mom showed up at the house knocking on the door. This is true, right? I'm not making this. Finally, the poor lady, broke hip and all, found this bear stored away somewhere and gave it to my mom. So when I didn't know anything about this until I walked out to tell my family that the little boy was here with all this excitement and tears flowing down my face. And there stands my mom with this silly little bear. And then she told me the story of how much trouble she went through to get it. You see, the reality is when God looked down and he saw his people, he knew he was going to have to go through a lot of trouble to find the right gift. He knew that the gift was going to have to match the value of the people he was going to give that gift to. So if you're trying to find your hope, your joy, you're trying to feel that love or peace this Christmas, I want you to hear this verse again from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. All the sin and all the error of our past doesn't hold anything to the worth that Christ gave our souls when he came at Christmas. Jesus was, is, and always will be the greatest gift given to anybody, anywhere, at any time. It was a valuable gift. It was God's one and only child. But it was a costly gift. Because we know that approximately 33 years after that cute baby cried in a... But 33 years later, we know it cost him his life. So that our sins and error would no longer cause separation between us and God. And we could be redeemed. But it's the only gift God knew would do the job. It's the only way God could match the value of the gift to the worth he saw in his children. In the end of the book, the very last page of Justin Coleman's book, he makes a very clear and simple statement. And if you don't hear anything else tonight, I want you to hear this. You were worth it. When God looks down and he sees you, he said, you were worth it. You were worth the most valuable thing he had. You were worth the greatest gift this world has ever seen. But just like any other gift, if you don't open and receive it, it'll stay a gift forever. So the question as we get closer to Christmas, as we get ready for the new year, is what do you plan to do with the greatest gift of all time? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.